Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text today, we get to hear about heaven. Praise be to God. I think it's a good, fitting thing to hear about after this last week, where we commended to God, to heaven, our brother, our friend, Richard Haynes. Before we dive in, however, we should note it's not just heaven that we're thinking about in the text, but rather it was the new heavens and the new earth that was confessed, as Jim read very well from the Old Testament, Isaiah, the final words of Isaiah, where it says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain." So far the text. Well, first, we better recall the order. Always good to do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first heavens, the first earth. But as you know, sin entered the world. And the earth, ever since that sin entered the world, God cursed the ground. He cursed Adam and Eve. This world, this earth is corrupt. Heaven can't be corrupt, can it? Because that's where God dwells. But this earth, because of man, because of who we are, what we've done, is corrupt. It's sinful. It's not perfect. But God is faithful to a promise he made right after the world became cursed. He promised to Adam, a second Adam, a son, a savior, who would redeem and buy back the world from sin and death. And therefore, being faithful to that promise, to tetelestai, Jesus came, finished all things. He said it. It is finished. It is done. And therefore, now we wait for the new heavens and the new earth that God will create. He's promised it in his word of old in the Old Testament. He spoke of it again in the New Testament. We hear about the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. We're waiting for it, much better than the previous. What can we say about the new heavens and the new earth? Well, number one today we could say is a place of gathering. A place of gathering. God gathers together people. As he said in our text, the very first verse there, "For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather the nations and all tongues." We are just finishing up the Olympics, aren't we? Olympics always has a great kind of witness when you gather all the nations together to compete in one spot. People from Russia, people from Alaska, everywhere, they come together to compete. And in some ways, it's kind of the best little picture that we have where all the nations and tongues come together for what will be the new heavens and the new earth. That's from the book of Isaiah. Jesus had to say it like this in the gospel today. Some will come from the east and others from the west, others from the north and some from the south, and they'll recline at table in the kingdom of God. So we remember that the new heavens and the new earth is a place of gathering. We're not going to be scattered all over the place. We're going to be gathered together in that new heavens, the new earth. That's why we call it a great reunion. Richard will be there. We'll all be there to sing and confess and believe. It's a gathering together, reunion, a great reminder of what we have to look forward to. Who will be there? Of course, as it tells us in the text, not all will be there. Not all. After all, in Isaiah, it talks about the word survivors will be gathered. Those on the earth who did not yet know God's name will be gathered together to know his name and his fame, all those things. And as Jesus pointed out in the New Testament, for somebody asked Jesus, will those who are saved be few? And did Jesus say, oh no, everybody will be saved? That's not what he said, did he? He said, strive to enter the narrow way, the door, the narrow door. Because many are going to try to get through that door and won't be able to get in. And some will say, Lord, open to us. And he'll say, I never knew you. What we can learn from that is not all are going to be there, are they? There is this idea of the elect, those who believe and trust in that mercy that Jesus is the door and the way. And then just ignore his teaching when he was here on earth. Just put it aside and say, well, that's nice. We saw you out in the streets there. We saw that church over there, but never entered it to find out if that was something important for me. Indeed, the new heavens and the new earth will be gathered those whom God calls, those whom he elects, those whom he calls he does elect, to be there with him, to rejoice in that presence of the new heavens and the new earth. Secondly, it's a place of glory. Not just a gathering place, it's also a place of glory, as it says three times in the Old Testament reading today. My glory, my glory, my glory. They shall come and see my glory. Well, what is the glory of God? What is it? You ever think about it? The Hebrew word is kabod. The kabod. What does it mean? It means weight, heaviness, importance, majesty, honor. All those things describe the kabod, the glory of God. And a physical example is even given in our text. It says, on my holy mountain, Jerusalem, a holy city, a great grand place where God dwells with his glory, his importance. His importance is wherever he is with his fullness and his majesty, his kingship. And Jesus is reminded wore a crown of thorns near Jerusalem, didn't he, when he was crucified to show that he is the king. Humble as he may be, he's still the king. His glory is there from the cross. His glory will be in the heavenly places, the new heavens and the new earth, where all will see how important God really is. Some people now don't think he's all that important. But many of us know by faith that he is majestic, he is honorable, he's glorious. Believe. And then there's two things about the glory it talks about in the text. They will come and they will see my glory. So one, remember Isaiah talked about the train of God's robe and how long it was in Isaiah 6. We'll see that one day, how important that king is, the longest beautiful robe we've ever seen. And secondly, we'll declare it. It says, you'll declare my glory. And we even practice that now when we speak the Lord's Prayer at the end, that addition that we've added to the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In fact, today in the prayer of Manasseh, we were studying Bible study too. At the very end, the very thing is, and the glory forever. Very similarly confessed there. Number three, the new heavens and the new earth is a place of worship. No surprise, you knew that. But, as you hear in the text, it's a place of regular worship. Are you prepared for regular worship? As it says, from new moon to new moon. That means from month to month, because there's a new moon at the beginning of every month. So it's going to be a continual worship of our God. And from Sabbath to Sabbath, that's the last day of the week in the Old Testament to the last day of the New. So week to week, you could say, there'll be worship of God. It's regular worship, often. And indeed, that's one of the purposes by which God created us, is for worship, for serving, singing, praying, trusting, believing that God is who he is, and he's done great things. He's glorious, and he's for you. Secondly, it's not only just regular, but it's priestly worship. As it says, he's going to take some to be priests and Levites. So don't think it's just everybody up there and just God and just everybody, but there's going to be servants of the Lord there in the heavenly places. The apostles may be set apart. Priests will be set apart to serve him. They're not more important, but they're just set apart for God's purposes, to showing his glory, to showing who he is. It'll be priestly. So that way, you might even think that the old is not so old that it's gone. The Old Testament, the priestly worship. The old is old, but it's new. It's just not gone. It's new and fulfilled in the newest way, the best way, in which God always intended it to be, that he's revealed for us in our learning in his word. Some people just want to slice off the Old Testament and say, hey, we're done with that. No, the old will be there. He will take priests and Levites for himself, it says, in the new heavens and the new earth. There will be servants. And it even talks about offerings. There's offerings in heaven. Well, we can't bring money in heaven. Can't take it with you, as it says. So what will be the offerings? Well, it's going to be our praise. You'll be living sacrifices, living offerings to the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. Your songs, your prayers, your praise will be the offerings that God finds acceptable in his sight. Number four, heavens, the new heavens, the new earth will be a place of reclining at table. Reclining. You ever listen to NPR? There's a show I like to listen to sometimes. It's called The Splendid Table. You ever listen to it? It's kind of a fun show. It talks about all these recipes, and people call in with their recipes. And the host always makes the recipes exciting. I always love it. It's always fun to listen to because she's got this, oh, the sparkle in her voice. She gets excited every time she comes up with a new question and something to talk about. It's exciting to listen to. Splendid table. And I hear these words that we will all come and recline at table, and I think, well, how shame on me for not thinking sometimes of how splendid the table in heaven's going to be. A great, wonderful place. We're gathered there. We'll be East, Northerners, Southerners, Westerners, everybody gathered, a splendid table. And that which we feast upon, as it talks about in the book of Revelation, the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, there will be feasting. The food will be marvelous, splendid, extraordinary, exciting, fun. A little picture of what the new heavens and the new earth will be like. A splendid table. Be life together with God. And finally, the last thing, the new heavens, the new earth today, we can learn from our texts, is that it's a place not only of reclining at table with Jesus, who gives of himself there at the table, but it'll be a place of reversal. A place of reversal. And you heard it in the text. Jesus said, some will be last who will be first, and some will be first who will be last. In other words, the proud of this world are going to be the last ones. And those who are humble in this world are going to be exalted to the first places in heaven. A place of reversal. Last week, our world was turned upside down a bit, you could say, couldn't you? Now, many of you who loved and knew Richard, to hear that news that he died so suddenly of a heart attack, it hurt. It turned my world upside down. I couldn't believe it. I got a call last Sunday morning here at the church that Richard had died the night before. Couldn't believe it. Richard's been with me at every funeral and every committal since I've been here, I think. Every church service that he could come to, if he wasn't here, he'd somewhere else. Every Wednesday night he was at service. Just hard to think of church and life without him, right? So to hear that he's gone is like the world was turned upside down. And just think, this lowly, humble farmer, you might say, no wife, no kids, no grandkids, had one of the largest attended funerals that I have been to in my 10 years of ministry. Why is that? Because God exalts the lowly and he humbles the proud. I've been to some real proud people's funerals. Not many came. But here's a lowly farmer, no wife, no kids, no grandkids. Church was packed to the full. Extra chairs flowing over. Why? Because God exalts the lowly. And he humbles the proud. A great reversal. So heaven will be similar. That which we think is, oh, that guy will be way up there. Well, he might be way down there. Because God sees things through his eyes of faith and trust in him, and love for him, knowing that he is the door. He is the way, the narrow door that many cry out and say, well, I have my own way. And God will say, I never knew you. But those who say, yes, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know if I ever could make it through any door other than the door that you are. To have that humble, trusting faith says, welcome in and have the best seat in my house because you were honest with me and you listened to my word. You believed what I said. I am the door. What do you want to be first or last? Final thought for today. The new heavens, the new earth, you want to be first or last? Humble yourself before God Almighty, that is, have faith, trust in him, not in yourselves, trust in his cross and his open tomb, which he humbled his son and thereby exalted him to the highest place in heaven where there will be worship and reclining and Sabbath to Sabbath, we will worship with him, feasting at the splendid table of God's love. Praise be to God. Come and be first with him always by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.